When you hear the Ten Commandments, do you think cold rules or life-giving relationships? In this devotional, we connect Romans 13 and Exodus 20 to show how God's moral law actually protects people and teaches us how to love our neighbors in the real world. From idolatry and politics to Sabbath, family, sexuality, abortion, and even redistribution of wealth, we'll ask hard questions about whether we are truly loving people or just loving power. Let's lean in, because this might completely reshape how you see government, culture, and the commandments. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. We are in our series, Loving Neighbors and Not Thrones, Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. That's Loving Neighbors, Not Thrones. So I hope you're enjoying this series. I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. It truly does help us get the word of God out to those around us in the state of Washington and all around your county and your city and everything that you're a part of. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. We are incredibly thankful. So I'm glad that you're here today. Today's title is Commandments and Loving Your Neighbor. When you hear the Ten Commandments, do you think rules or relationships? Now think about that for a moment. When you hear the Ten Commandments, do you think rules or relationships? We're going to actually read the Ten Commandments today after we read in Romans chapter 13. So the moral law is a relational at its core about protecting people. So that is what we are going to work on today. So let's look at Romans chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 8 through 14 really quick here. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this, saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Do this, knowing that the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. From now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of the darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. Now, some of you may be saying, why does he read that each and every day? Like, he goes through a portion of scripture, reads it, because I want you to get the context of the scriptures. And so to think about, what is it saying in its whole? If I just pick out part of it, you're not getting the stuff around it. Yes, I know the chapter is bigger than this. You can go back and read about the government. I think it's no mistake that he talks about the government, and then he talks about loving your neighbor. I don't think it's a mistake. I think he's giving an idea, a principle, a way of looking at government is really about loving neighbor, not about power. So that's why we have loving our neighbors, not thrones. So let's go over to Exodus. And we are going to be in chapter 20. And we're going to read the Ten Commandments today. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Woo! Isn't that powerful? Like, you think about it. God is the one who brought Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. And he says, commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. How is loving your neighbor, how does that relate to having no other gods before me? Well, look at Romans 13, government, right? And then loving neighbor. So here we go. Have no other gods. In other words, government is not God. And when government is God, you do not love your neighbor because you are going after power. But when you love God by having no other gods before me, government is something to be stewarded and taken care of. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or the water underneath the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So have no other gods, have no idolatry. Now think about that for a moment. When we have idolatry, we're not loving our neighbor. Why? Because we're worshiping something other than God, the King of Kings. If a political party is what you worship, you got a problem. That's called an idol. That's called idolatry. Now, does that mean that we don't steward these areas of government? Of course not. We want to have the best leadership that are godly with a moral compass leading us in the public square. Don't get me wrong when I say that. It's not an all or nothing. It's a both and. God desires that we be there, but he says, don't worship those positions of power. Don't worship those parties. Don't worship those things. Worship me alone. So idolatry is any desire that turns into mad and we judge and we punish others. Commandment number two. Commandment number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Now, I think this is more than just a curse word. I don't think we should use God's name as a curse word, but I also don't think we should use God's name in order for people to vote for us, for people to try to be a part of this. You know, if we're not authentically serving the Lord, then it is taking it in vain to get attention to ourselves. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Commandment four, 6 days you shall have, commandment four is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall have labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughters, your male or your female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Look at that. Keeping the Sabbath holy. Do you take a day off? Do you take a day of rest? Do you take a day to focus in on Jesus and his word? If you want to love your neighbor, that connection with God is incredibly important. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Okay? We love our neighbors by loving our family, our mother and our father. And so, incredibly important. You shall not murder. Wow, that's a baseline, right? Not killing your neighbor is a love towards your neighbor. This would include abortion, killing your kids. You can try to, you know, force whatever you want into that to say, well, they're not really a human being. They're not a soul. They're not this. Those are all excuses. At conception, life has begun. New genetic code is there. And that's scientific, just so we're clear. All right. You shall not commit adultery. Adultery is having sex with someone else's spouse, because that's not loving your neighbor. That would also include fornication, which is having two single people having sex, because that is someone's future spouse, okay? That would also include pornography, because that's looking on someone else's nakedness and doing things around that. You shall not steal. You shall not steal. Taking wealth from one person and transferring it to another person is a form of stealing. If someone didn't make that wealth and it's just handed out to them and it's taken by the sword or it's taken by a tax or it's taken by whatever means and it's a redistribution of wealth, that is a form of stealing. That's different than a tax that pays for things that we use together, you know, the common good things like roads and fire departments, that kind of thing. That's different than from a tax to punish evil so we have a justice system. Redistribution of wealth is a form of stealing. You shall not bear false witness, in other words, lying. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey, whatever. You should not covet. All the people perceived the thunder and lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. So, are you loving people? Remember, true love does not appease, coddle, or compromise the truth. It's truth, 100%. It's done out of a love for people. It's communicated in a way that actually loves them. It's clear. It's concise. It's right there for you to see. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. God, we ask that you would change us from the inside out, oh God. Move on us today to love our neighbor, not thrones, that we would truly have the fulfillment of the law in our elected officials, in our business leaders, and those around us to see and to know that you are God. Go before us in all things. Surround us today. God, we thank you for what you want to do. We lift up Bob Ferguson to you, Governor Bob Ferguson to you. We pray for his salvation. We pray for President Trump's salvation. We pray for all of our elected officials' salvation. We pray for our pastors that they would be saved as well, God. God, whoever is in a place of leadership, we pray that they would know you, that they would confess Jesus as Lord and know that you are the King of Kings and only serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.